Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we love you, Jesus. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Amen. Well, how many enjoyed this wonderful word of the Lord tonight? It's good preaching. Amen. Praise God. Never heard Brother Pace preach this. A lot of meat in his preaching. A lot of evidence of study and contemplation. And meditation on the word of the Lord. And I'll do my best. I feel like I ought to be sitting down while other men are standing. But I'm up here. I'm going to do my best to obey the Holy Ghost. Certainly is good to be here in Madera with Brother Garza and his wonderful family and all these good men of God, brethren. I just want to say again how much I have enjoyed just the fellowship and also the word of the Lord. And good preaching. I haven't heard any preaching against anything or for anything here that's too hard for me. Amen. And I don't just say that. I preach it. I practice it. I appreciate good holiness preaching. And God's word is just right. It's just right. Amen. Amen. I'm just a little torn tonight. Let's just talk to God and let's just ask God's hand. You're able, God, tonight. Have your precious way. Have your perfect way. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. We trust you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. St. John, the 14th chapter. I just shift gears a little bit. I might move toward what I came prepared to say, but I'm going to read a couple of verses, perhaps, and move on from there. Amen. John, the 14th chapter, and reading from the 30th verse. Amen. Jesus speaking. Hereafter he said, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The book of John, the 12th chapter, a similar setting of scripture. Amen. In the 31st verse, Jesus again speaking. Amen. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let you be seated. God bless all of you. And I just want to give honor to all of the elders and men of God here tonight. I appreciate preachers, appreciate saints. Can the church say amen? I know it's hot in here, and I know some of you are tired, and I'll do my best to just say what I feel and then get out of the way. Let the Lord, amen, move according as His will, His perfect will, would dictate tonight. Amen. Amen. Reading these verses of Scripture the other day, just in my private time with God, and considering what this and what these verses mean, when Jesus spoke of the prince of this world. And of course, we know that He was speaking of Satan. And I believe there is a devil. And I might just talk about him a little bit tonight, not to glorify him, but because I think sometimes we forget that we're up against a foe that is extremely, extremely able in his abilities to deceive and to create illusions. Amen. To the human mind. I like what Jesus said. He said, Satan has come. The prince of this world has come. And he hasn't found anything in me. Praise the Lord. And I begin to ask God, God, is there anything in me? Is there anything in me that belongs to the devil? Is there anything in my mind that he owns? Is there anything in my spirit that he has something tied to? The scripture talks about Satan taking captive them that are his at his own will. Just on his own whim, he reels them in and uses them for his purposes. I don't want the devil to have anything in me. I don't want there to be anything in me that he can say, that's mine. That belongs to me. Because no matter how much you do for God, no matter how hard you work for God, no matter how far you walk with God, if the devil in the end has a hook in your jaw, he'll just eventually reel you in where he wants you. And you will, your own self, destroy everything that God used you to build. Amen. How many times have we seen it? How many times have we observed the lifetime effort of a child of God, perhaps a saint of God, perhaps a father who raised his children in the church, maybe a mother, maybe even a preacher that just did so much to benefit and to help and to work in behalf of the kingdom of God. But because of some unconquered area in their life, because of some place that they did not give to God, they did not surrender to God, then Satan had a hold on them that he eventually exploited and brought to the surface and used to tear down everything that they, with their own hands, had built. I don't want the devil to have anything in me. I know I know periodically he comes around looking. Periodically I can feel him observing me and watching me. I got a phone call from a preacher some time back. And as a matter of fact, that preacher's sitting right in this room right now. And he said, "Brother Kelly, I had a dream about you last night. And I felt like I needed to call and tell you." And he said, I saw what appeared to be a dark spirit that was just following you everywhere you went and watching every move that you made and everything you were doing and saying. He was observing you with close and rapt attention." And he went on to tell the rest of the dream. But when I hung the phone up, I said, "Oh God, amen, I know you're watching me. And I fear you, amen, more than I fear the devil. But I don't ever want to forget about Satan and his snares and his traps." And there's a little saying in our country, amen, "The bear might forget about the trap, but the trap don't forget about the bear." Once the trap is set, amen, it never forgets, amen. And I don't want to forget about the devil. And I'm not here to exalt him, but I'm just here to tell you, amen, that we have got to get in the place with God and our relationship with God and our hunger for God and our desire for God, where that we're so sold out that when Satan comes along, he has to look at us with frustration and say, "I can't find anything I can get a hold of them, that I can pull on them or influence them or use them or push their buttons or provoke them." The Bible talks about, amen, that Satan rose up against David and provoked him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I have to confess tonight to my shame, amen, that I've let the devil provoke me. Amen. I've let saints provoke me. Amen. I think the devil sometimes uses people to provoke you. Well, praise the Lord. And I've just learned something. I finally figured it out. Amen. Not on my own, but God help me. Amen. That if I keep responding every time the devil pushes that button, he's going to just keep on pushing it. Because it's something in me, amen, that's vulnerable to something, amen, that he has, that he knows he can use against me. Praise God. Amen. The first many years of my ministry, I preached, amen, by responding to the congregation. Amen. And then I finally figured out, I can't respond to the congregation. I'm going to have to respond to God and to heaven. I've got to hear from the throne of God. I've got to let the Holy Ghost provoke me. I've got to let the Spirit of God provoke me. Amen. There's always going to be somebody out there that's going to provoke you if you let them. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't want there to be anything in me. Amen. That the devil can use. The book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and the 12th verse says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." My friends, we are in a wrestling match tonight. Now, I don't know if you are or not, but I am. I'm in a wrestling match, and sometimes I feel like, amen, that I'm on the mat. And sometimes I feel like, amen, that I'm going to have to get some victory or else I'm not going to make it. Praise the Lord. Because we're in a battle tonight. We're in a warfare tonight. We're in a struggle tonight. If you're not in a struggle, amen, then you're not doing anything. You better get out and push against something, amen, or you're not going to get anything accomplished for God. Well, praise the Lord. If you haven't stirred the devil up and caught his attention, then you're not doing anything for the Holy God of heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. And our struggle, amen, is with principalities, amen, with powers, with the rulers of the darkness of this world. This is a dark world. I said, this is a dark world.
And we're supposed to be the children of light. And we're supposed to be walking in the light. Praise the Lord. Even as He is in the light. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. If it's all right, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit and try to reason with you about this subject, because I think there's a lot of people that are allowing the enemy to provoke them and create problems in their life because there's things that they won't quit responding to. Well, if the devil knows it works every time, why should he quit? Why should he quit using it? Praise the Lord. Why should he quit doing what he's doing if it works every time that he pulls it out of the hat? Praise God. Amen. Amen. One translation said this: because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenlies. Amen. Or heavenly realms. The Amplified Version says, for we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Amen. The Bible talks about principalities and powers in the context of being our enemies. Amen. Amen. You, he said in Ephesians, the second chapter, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. One translation said, the ruler of the atmospheric domain. Amen. Satan is setting, if you will, according to these verses, above us in the heavenlies, in a exalted position. Amen. In an atmospheric domain. Jesus said in the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now I'm gonna say some things here that I'm sure probably most will agree with, but some may not. And it's just my opinion on some of this, and I'm just gonna tell you that right now. Amen. You can go away, but please keep it in the context in which I am speaking here tonight. Amen. I don't know what, when, and where, and I don't know if anybody else does either for sure, what Jesus is speaking of, whether he fell then, sometime before, sometime after. Amen. But I personally believe that what Jesus was referring to was a past event that had taken place, and Jesus had observed Satan fall from heaven. Praise God. Amen. And the book of Revelations, the 12th chapter, it says concerning Satan, I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen. The timeline seems to be like this. Amen. It's in the kingdom of God and his Christ. Amen. And after that, we see the shed blood of the Lamb. And then we see the martyrs for the name of God. Amen. And then we observe that it is spoken as if he has a short time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I want you to just stay with me, because I got a couple things I need to say tonight about this that I really feel like God wants me to communicate in this service tonight. If I could be so bold as to suggest
that the Apostle Paul, writing the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, amen, is still speaking of Satan as not being yet cast down to the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now that debunks a lot of false doctrine that's out there. Amen. But he is yet, amen, in a position in the heavenlies in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, he talks about to the intent that under principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. Principalities again and powers seems to be the scriptural reference for the forces of Satan, which are arrayed against us. For in Romans, the 8th chapter, amen, Paul said, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So it appears as if principalities and powers are those forces which are attempting to separate us, amen, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. And in Ephesians, the 6th chapter again, and the 12th verse, amen, it is speaking, amen, as if, praise the Lord, that these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness are yet in a place, amen, in the heavenlies. Now, I know I'm skating on thin ice right now, and I know somebody here don't like it. I can feel it, but I'm not going to respond to you. Amen. I'm going to try to respond to heaven a little bit here tonight. Praise God. Amen. So if I'm reading these things right, and Jesus, and I may not be, I stand to be corrected. Amen. But if Jesus saw Satan cast down, but Paul is writing as if he is still up there, then the only thing I can conclude is that he was cast down, but he wasn't cast all the way down. Hello? Amen. He's somewhere yet in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere, in the dominion of the atmosphere above us. Amen. Around us, surrounding us. Amen. This is where he rules. This is where he exercises power. And this is where he exercises dominion. And believe me, he's got some dominion. And if you don't believe that, come, amen, where I pastor. Amen. I started to preach a message. Amen. I thought about preaching it here. Whatever happened to the devil? Man, we got so sophisticated, amen, we don't think there is a devil anymore. I got news for you. Amen. A part of the gospel of Jesus Christ was everywhere he went, he cast out devils. Someone said, "Oh, they're just looking for attention." I'm going to tell you what, if they got the kind of attention they needed to get, they'd quit looking for it. Maybe somebody didn't hear that. So, well, people come in here and pretend they got the devil in them, and it's just because they're looking for attention. Well, bless your heart, amen. I know the kind of attention they used to get when the old timers, amen, they didn't want that kind of attention. It's embarrassing to get the devil cast out of you in front of a whole crowd of people, and you're puking your guts out all over everything, amen, wallowing on the floor and foaming at the mouth. That's what they did when Jesus came to town. Whatever happened to the devil? We've got so sophisticated in America, amen, we don't think there is a devil anymore. I got news for you. He came to church tonight. He's sitting right here. Amen. He wants, amen, to control and influence and provoke the people of God. Well, 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 well. Amen. I'm not glorifying him. I'm not telling he's saying he's more powerful than Jesus. I'll get to that. I'll get to that. But let me lay it out here first. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone said, "Well, wait a minute, Brother Kelly. Doesn't God dwell in heaven?" Amen. Doesn't God dwell in heaven? How can the devil dwell in heaven and God dwell there too? Amen. And I don't know how to answer that except with the Bible. And I'd be afraid to try to answer it except with the Bible. The book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter and the 14th verse started out by giving us a little clue. He said, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also and all that is
therein is. And then 1 Kings 8, chapter 27th verse says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. I don't have time to read the scriptures that are in the Bible that refer to this multiple heaven business. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse, thou even thou, O Lord, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the hosts of heaven worship thee. My point is, amen, according to these verses that I've read, that there must be more than one heaven. Now, I'm going to go home to Cami and weed my garden when I'm done preaching here. Praise the Lord. And what you think, I'm going to try not to let it matter. Praise God. Amen. But I believe what I'm preaching tonight, amen, that there is, according to Scripture, amen, a heaven, and then there's a heaven, and maybe there's a heaven above that. I don't know, because the Apostle Paul spoke of being taken up unto the third heaven. I don't know where that is, but I suspect, amen, that's where God's sitting on his throne. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Paul said, I knew such a man. He said, I don't know whether he was in the flesh. I don't know if he was in the body. I can't tell. Amen. God knoweth, that was caught up to the third heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said, I knew that man, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. God knoweth. Amen. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. And so I suspect that the third heaven is paradise. But there's at least one heaven between here and there, maybe two. You say, Brother Kelly, this is strange doctrine. I hope not. I'm just trying to preach what's in the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to say that between us and the heaven where God sits on his throne, the home of our souls, the throne of God, praise the Lord, there is another kingdom. It is the kingdom of Satan. It is the kingdom of darkness, of the rulers of darkness, of the principalities and the powers, amen, of this age and this present world, this present darkness, and they rule between us and God. They are strategically placed, my friends. You believe the devil's got an advantage? I believe God let him have every advantage, amen, so that the Lord's power could be demonstrated as greater than his power. And so he gave him every advantage. He said, all right, I'll let you position your kingdom between me, amen, and my people. But he never told the devil his plan. I like what the devil, what the Bible says when it talks about the mystery, amen, that was hid, amen, from the foundation of the earth. The mystery. You know, go looking at that mystery. I'm going to tell you something, amen. I firmly believe the devil wasn't in on the mystery. I don't believe the devil was in on the mystery. Are you listening to me? I think whenever God got over there and Adam and Eve, amen, had sinned and they'd made themselves their own coverings, and the Lord went, amen, and he slew whatever he slew and covered them with those skins. Personally, I believe it was, amen, it was a lamb. And I think, amen, that the devil scratched his head over that. I don't think he could figure that one out. But God's plan was revealed right there. Amen. It was a mystery to the devil. I like God. Amen. He's always one step ahead of the enemy. Amen. He's got a plan. Amen. It's one step ahead of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think when Abel came up there and offered that lamb and the Lord received it. Amen. And he didn't receive Cain's offering. I think the devil scratched his head again. And he said, there's that lamb again. Praise the Lord.
And then when Abraham was there offering Isaac, amen, and he said, Father, amen, here is the wood and here is the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, amen, my son, the Lord shall provide himself, amen, a lamb for the sacrifice. I'm going to tell you something. I think the devil just about jumped out of his skin, and I think he probably went back to hell and said, I don't know what in the world he's talking about, but I need to figure it out. Well, how about when John the Baptist was standing there in the water and Jesus came walking by upon the bank and he looked up at him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. I think God had a blindfold over the devil's eyes. Amen. The mystery was hid from him. I got news for you. I think if the devil really knew what had been going on, he would have been so careful. He wouldn't have shed one single drop of the blood of Jesus. He'd have said, boys, your job is to protect his skin. I mean, don't you let a thorn scratch him. Don't you let any of that blood out. Keep that blood contained. I got news for you. One drop of the blood of Jesus. Amen. When the devil shed it, it was too late. It was too late. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so God gave him all the advantages. He gave him all the advantages. And so he positioned himself between us and heaven. He positioned himself between us and God. And he resists the people of God. And he fights against the people of God. And he opposes, amen, the people of God. And he opposes God himself and the angels of God. Go read the book of Daniel, amen, the 10th chapter. The Bible says that the angel came and said, Daniel, I heard your prayer from the very first day you prayed it. The Lord sent me to you. Amen. But the prince of Persia came and fought against me. And it's taken me 21 days to get here. Praise the Lord. And so he fights against the people of God and he fights to resist, amen, the work of God and the kingdom of God and to keep us separated, amen, from the God that we love and the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, amen, that some people, me included, needed a revelation. I don't know if anybody here does, but I needed a revelation, amen, to help me understand that I didn't have to live under the cloud of the oppression of hell. I'm gonna say this tonight. There is an oppressive cloud of Satan that hovers over the people of God and attempts to crush the life out of them and smother them with their hope of any kind of help from God. If you let the devil, he'll convince you you gotta live like that. He'll convince you you gotta stay like that. I came here to tell you tonight, there is an answer. There is an answer. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If you're feeling, amen, like you're, I know it's a shame. We don't want to talk about it. It's shameful. The people in our churches, amen, are depressed and doctors are wanting to put them on antidepressants and they're struggling and they're fighting to keep their head above spiritual water and to just make their way through life and get by. And that's all they feel like they can do. I might be talking to somebody here tonight that you feel like all you're able to do is just take one step at a time and put one foot above in front of the other and just make your way. Amen. And the devil wants you to believe that's the way it's got to be. And he wants you to believe that's the way it's always going to be. And he wants you to stay in that state of mind. And matter of fact, amen, I'm telling you, the devil will use doctors. You go to the doctor, amen, and if you and he'll tell you, amen, you here, let me give you this bottle of pills. This will help you. Amen. You better watch out. That's the snare of the devil. That's a trap to keep you in that mindset that you need to depend on something other than the Word of God and Jesus Christ to get you out of where you are. You don't have to stay there. I said, you don't have to stay there. Praise the Lord. Amen. I pastor on a Native American Indian reservation. And I'm going to tell you, these people are sold. They are sold to sorcery. They're sold to witchcraft. They're sold out, amen, to the worship of idolaters, to idolatry. And I don't know if you understand or not. I don't know how many people here really comprehend, but the Native American religion is the rootstock of the New Age movement. When the New Agers wanted a religion, when they went to the Native American and said, "Give us your religion," amen, the spirit guide concept came from the Native Americans. Amen. Long before there was anything called a New Ager, the Native Americans was going out on the top of the mountain and fasting and praying until they had a vision of their spirit guide, the buffalo or the eagle or the hawk or the wolf or the coyote or whatever it was happened to be. Amen. And they took the little totems and the little icons and the little things, amen, that represented their vision and their personal religion. Amen. And they put it in what they call a medicine bag, and they hang it around their neck, and it is a continual perpetual reminder of their personal religion. Every man is his own priest. That is the religion of the Native American. And my friend, if you don't think they got something, I invite you, amen, to come check it out. Because they live under the dark control and realm of Satan. And the New Age movement is nothing more than just a little bit of hodgepodge added in of witchcraft. And I have an article at home somewhere written by one of the main Native American medicine men in North America that says the New Agers stole our religion, and they have added to it little hodgepodge doses of Christianity and sorcery, and they have corrupted our Native American religion. And he was mad about it. Amen. But I got news for you. Praise the Lord. That old principality that ruled over this continent for thousands and thousands and thousands of years and kept those people in darkness and bondage so that they could not even invent the wheel and they could not raise themselves up out of bondage is still in control of them. He still got them in bondage. And I'm here to tell you, there's very few full-blooded, amen, or close to full-blooded Native American people in America that are full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm not talking about once or twice, but I have observed many, many times that when one of them starts trying to get free and trying to get out from under the bondage of that spirit, that demon spirit, that devil, that principality will kill them. Amen. We've had them come looking for our church, come asking for the saints, and literally drop dead for no reason. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not stretching it one bit. This is not evangelistically speaking. I'm talking about drop dead. Amen. Satan has such a power and a control over them. And that hovering spirit. You know what? I'm just here to tell you that his kingdom is not divided against itself. And when the white man arrived on this continent, amen, he didn't switch. He didn't change principalities. The old ruler of this continent is still an old Native American spirit. And he's put out this New Age spirit that's controlling so many people in this nation today, right now. Maybe somebody I'm talking to tonight. That's not what I'm preaching about, but I'm just trying to establish the fact that we're living under a cloud of oppression and darkness. And that's not all. Amen. Just the sin and the wickedness and the control that hell has over this world. And it's oppressive and it's heavy and it's dark. You say, well, there's something wrong with you if you're feeling that. Maybe so. Maybe so. But there's some days I get up and I gotta take the oversight thereof. The Bible said taking the oversight thereof. There's many a service I gotta go to church and I have to look out at that congregation of people. Amen. And I have to say, devil, amen, you're not coming in here and disrupting this church and this service tonight. And I have to take the oversight thereof. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because otherwise the devil would rule and he would control and he would keep us, amen, in a constant state of bondage. He is, amen, at work in this world. I'm trying to tell you, amen, that we are walking around under a cloud of spiritual powers and dominions and principalities. We are God's people in the devil's world. Praise the Lord. But we got something that the devil can't. He can't deal with. Praise the Lord. I want to read you a scripture, amen, that settles the whole issue. The book of John, the 10th chapter, amen, in the 7th verse. Amen. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also said, Satan has come and he hasn't found anything in me. I know somebody that whipped the devil. I know somebody that defeated the devil. I know somebody that put the devil on the mat. I know somebody, amen, that gave the devil a good whipping. Amen, I'm going to tell you what. Amen, he said, he turned around and said, amen, now is his day of judgment. Now will he be cast out. And then he said, I'm turning the tables on the devil. If I be lifted up. If I be lifted up. If I be lifted up. I shall draw all men unto me. I'm going to tell you what. It's no accident that he said to Peter, Peter, I'm going to build my church at the very gates of hell. You know what God did? He built the door to heaven right at the gate to hell. And you can walk around under that cloud and you can let the devil defeat you and you can waller under that thing and you can allow Satan's spirit, I'm telling you, he can make you physically ill. He can make you mentally ill. He can make you emotionally ill. And you know he can make you spiritually ill. If you let him, amen, he will make you a sick, 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 sick individual. You say, oh, Brother Kelly, I don't believe people got the Holy Ghost from before the devil. I don't either. I don't either. But you can go look at those verses of scripture, amen, in some translations where it said, amen, it didn't say he cast the devil out of them. It says he cast the devil off of them. The evil spirit wasn't in them. They were in the evil spirit. A big difference. Amen. There is a spirit sometimes can just settle down over you. And everywhere you go, it just follows you around. Amen. When you sit down, it sits down. When you stand up, it stands up. When you go to the restroom, it goes to the restroom. When you go to the restaurant, it goes to the restaurant. When you go to church, it goes to church. If you don't believe that, you just ask some of these pastors. Amen. Saints come in and they walk in and they're in an evil spirit. There's a spirit all over them. I'm not saying they're full of the devil. I'm just saying, amen, they're letting the devil hover over them and sit down over them and control the way they think and control the way that they act and control, amen, that the way they respond to God. It's time we woke up and realized we got a door out of this mess. Amen. We got a way, amen, to get up and out of this situation that the devil's caught us in. We are not at a disadvantage anymore since Jesus came along, amen, and said, I am the door. If you believe in me, you can come in and go out and find pasture. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus is that door. Jesus is the door. Amen. And I finally discovered, maybe some of you discovered this long ago, and you forgive me for being such an infant spiritually, but I finally discovered, amen, that the devil hasn't got the power to keep me from touching God. He has no control over the door. Jesus said, I am he which opens and no man shuts. I'm he that shuts and no man opens. In other words, I'm controlling this door. I'm opening it. I'm shutting it. Bless your heart. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. All I got to do is knock on the door. Jesus. Jesus, I'm down here, but I need to go out and find me some pasture. My soul is hungry. My heart is hungry. My spirit is hungry. I need to walk into your throne room. I've got some things I need to talk to you about, Lord. Amen. Oh, the devil hates that, but there isn't a thing he can do about it. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God's people have always come to his identity to worship him. And every religion in the world, every false religion in the world, amen, has some form of identification. You either got to have an image or a charm or a symbol, or you got to go, amen, to some place, or you got to look in some particular direction, or amen, you gotta visit some icon. You gotta touch some stone. You gotta do something. But God's people have never been that way. Amen. God's people have always worshiped at the altar of his identity. They have bowed down at the door of his supreme powered Godhead. Amen. And we know when Moses said, I'm not trying to instruct anybody, in something you don't know about. But, when Moses said, Lord, who shall I tell them sent me? He said, you just tell them my name. Amen. That's all they need to know. You just tell them who I am. Tell them my identity. That's enough. Amen. They ought to be able to worship at the door of my identity. Praise God. When God gave them the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the mercy seat and the cherubims and the Spirit of God dwelt there between the cherubims and that Holy of Holies. And we think about that Ark of the Covenant as the place, amen, where God dwelt. Amen. And so it was. But if you go read, amen, in the book of 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, God is speaking, amen, to Solomon. And he said, the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. What God was saying was, amen, it's my name that gives this place its importance. It's my identity that gives this place the importance. I got news for you. Amen. The sacrifice wouldn't have meant anything if the name wasn't up there. Those cherubims looking down at that law here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. That's what gave the sacrifice its effectiveness. That's what gave the blood its ability, amen, to roll their sins ahead, is because of the name. Woo.
I don't know about you, but that excites me. That excites me when Jesus said, I am the door. You know how he could say that? Because he came in his Father's name. Praise the Lord. He came in his Father's name. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Amen. If Jesus is the door, and he's got the name, who is he? If God's people have always worshiped at the place of God's identity, who in the world is Jesus? He's the Almighty. He's the Almighty God, robed in flesh, walking among men. Praise God. Try to close that door, devil. I don't have time. Amen. I don't have time to preach on it, but I'm here to tell you, amen, there's only one God and his name is Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. There's only one God and his name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the devil wants to keep you beat down under his oppressive spirit. And he wants to tell you, and I'm going to close pretty quick. He wants to tell you, amen, that you got to stay in the state of depression and oppression and defeat all the time. Oh, yes, he does. Amen. I can hear it. I can hear it, but I'm not going to respond to it. I can hear it coming back. I'm going to tell you what. Amen. It don't matter how much the devil argues back tonight. Amen. He knows that I'm telling the truth. He doesn't want you to know that there's a way out of your situation. He doesn't want you to know that there's been blood that's been shed to set you free from the power of the devil. To loose you from the bondage, amen, that you have been kept in all of your life. You say, oh, amen, I'm a child of God. That don't mean you can't be bound by the devil. You need to be loose tonight if you're bound. Well, praise God. Jesus came to church one day. And believe me, I believe this. It was the church of the Old Testament. And those were the saints of the Old Testament. Praise God. Amen. And there was a woman there who had had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And Jesus healed her. You know what he said? He said, you spirit of infirmity. Leave her, you spirit of infirmity. He took charge of that devil. He took dominion over that devil. Amen. He took authority over that demon spirit. And somebody swelled up and got mad about it. And Jesus said, amen, you would go out and let your donkey loose if he had his foot stuck in a mud hole. But you're not willing that a daughter of Abraham should be loose from Satan, who has been bound by him these 18 years. She was a saint in the synagogue and a daughter of Abraham who had been bound by him for 18 years. I don't have one single doubt in my mind, but what I'm talking to people right here tonight that are bound by demon spirits. You're bound by them. They torment your mind. They torment your body. They torment your spirit. You say, if I pray a little more, amen, I got news for you. Amen, it's going to take some dominion. Somebody's going to have to take some dominion. I said somebody's going to have to stand up and say, amen, I know a name that's bigger than you, devil.
I know a God that's bigger than you, Satan. I know an authority, amen, that's greater than your authority, devil. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody needs to be loosed from your infirmity tonight. You need to be loosed from Satan tonight. You say, Brother Kelly, it don't feel like the devil. It just feels like depression. I'm going to tell you something. Depression is a devil. I said depression is a devil. And you know how it starts? It starts with a thought process. He comes and starts whispering in your ear. And if you start agreeing with him, he'll come right in and sit on your shoulder. Amen. And rest right there until the day you die. You better learn to recognize that there's a lot of things that are nothing but demon spirits that's trying to get control of your mind. Well, I'm in deep water already. I might as well jump in over my head. Whatever happened to the devil? Hey, man, we want to act like that we got this sanitized church. Praise God, we don't want nothing happening around here to disrupt things. We want the choir to sing tonight. We want the special to happen tonight. Bless God, what is more important than that a daughter of Abraham should be loosed from the power of Satan and be set free? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I can feel the resistance. I can feel it. I can feel it. But I don't care anymore. I said, I don't care anymore. It's time for us to understand that the commission of the Holy Ghost to us is to go out and set them that are bound free and loose them that are in chains. Amen. I'm telling you that God asked us to go do His work. So I'm doing the work of Jesus. I'm doing the work of Jesus. I'm doing the work of Jesus. Well, when's the last time somebody got set free then? When's the last time someone got loosed? When's the last time someone got healed? When's the last time some devil got cast out of somebody? I'm telling you, everywhere Jesus went, He loosed people. He set people free. He cast out devils. I'm telling you, He didn't just do it, but then He commissioned His disciples. Hey, go out, cast out devils. Amen. Do the job that I came to do. Finish it. Well, we're all set in our ways. Don't mess our apple cart up, Brother Kelly. Hey, man, we like sanitized Pentecost. We don't want vomit on our carpets. Well, I grew up here, and I think the old timers that built the churches around us, hey, man, were right. Alcohol is a demon. Cigarettes is a demon. Drugs are demons. You see, everything's a devil to you, Brother Kelly. No, not everything. Amen. Some things are people. But I understand that we can get so focused on the devil that we forget everything else. And I'm not going to do that either. But neither am I going to stick my head in the sand and act like he's not there. Because, brother, that just gives him a perfect place to work. We need to open our eyes. There's saints of God here tonight. You need to say, devil, I don't want you in my mind. I don't want you in my thoughts. I don't want you in my spirit. I don't want you in my home. I don't want you in my life. You don't have a right here. I got a God. His name is Jesus. And He defeated you. And He shed His blood to set me free. And I am free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. When God when Jesus Christ called the Apostle Paul by Paul's own testimony. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go open their eyes to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. There is a power of Satan out there that people need to be set free from. But God help us, how are we going to set people free from if we can't get free ourselves? You can stand up, sit down, I don't care, but how in the world are we going to help people get free from the power of the devil if we're constantly, as the saints of God, falling into his snares and his traps? Amen. And he's pushing our buttons and provoking us and keeping us on the wrong track. And every time we get to where we need to get a little spiritual, the devil just gets us mad, pushes us off track. Amen. Gets us off, amen, somewhere in left field. Amen. We forget, amen, what's really important. And that is to get people free from his power. God help me to be free from his power. God help me to, amen, to get everything out of my mind. Everything out of my heart, everything out of my spirit, everything out of my life that he might have a handle on, that he can control me with. He said, Brother Kelly, you must be backslid. I'm not backslid. I'm not backslid. You can be seated. Amen. Music come. I guess. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Not everything the devil draws us into is sin. But it can become sin. There does come a day to ignore the reprobate. There does come a day, amen, to ignore. And I'm certainly not blasting anybody here. I'm just preaching what I feel, and I'm not taking exception with anything anybody said, because I can't remember everything everybody said. I'm too old. Amen. 51 years old. I'm slipping. Amen. But I will tell you this. Amen. That there comes a time when we need to forget about the church across town. And we need to forget about the church down the road. And we need to forget about the sorcerer. And we need to forget about the witch. And we need to get busy about the business of the king. The devil, amen, will push your buttons as long as he can keep you, amen, excited about something that's non-essential. God help us tonight to understand. I said, God give us some wisdom tonight to see what the devil's been doing to some of us for years and years and years, and help us to understand it's time for us to say, God, everything in me that he can provoke, everything in me that he can get a handle on, get it out of me. I don't want it in me. I got to get about the business of setting people free from his power. Hallelujah. Colossians said he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Speaks of a passage out of this world into the next. I got news for you. I can make my way out of this world into the next anytime I want to. And there's not a thing the devil can do about it. Or if he's got you convinced that he can stop you, he will. If he's got you convinced that you got to stay where you're at, you'll stay there. So, well, you're just in a trial. You're going to have to stay here for the next X amount of time until it passes. I got news for you, friend. I mean, you need to get on your knees and start knocking on the door. Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, I need you. Jesus, open the door. I don't want to get stuck down here, Lord. I need to go where you're at for a little while. I need to get a good look at this situation from your perspective. Why don't you open the door and let me walk into heavenly places? I'm in the Bible. I'll tell you what, when you've been walking around with Jesus up in heavenly places,
It's a whole lot easier to deal with the devil. Some folks are scared of the devil because they know in their heart he's got a little something on them. Church, if we're ever going to do anything for God, we better get our life straightened out so he ain't got nothing on us. Because, buddy, he'll intimidate you every time you get in a pulpit. Brethren, every time you get in a pulpit, he'll start pulling your strings. He'll start saying, yeah, but what about this and what about that and what about the other thing? Bless your heart. It's time for us to get on our knees and walk into the throne of God and say, God, I want you to take care of all that junk that the devil's had, amen, that he's pulled on me with and used to keep me distracted with. I want to be clear just like you're clear. I want to be free just like you're free. I want to be like you, Jesus. I don't want him to have anything in me. Nothing 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 in me. Come on, church. That's how we're going to be effective, is get the devil out of our lives. You see, Brother Kelly, I got the Holy Ghost. I talked in tongues today. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you can have the Holy Ghost and still be listening to the devil too. It isn't enough to get free. You're going to have to stay free. It's not enough to come to church and get in the altar and pray through and get joy. When you get up from there, you're going to have to walk out that door and keep your joy. And I'm going to tell you something. The only way you can go out that door and keep your joy is keep the devil out of your head. And every time he comes around, starts whispering and talking and messing with your mind and messing with your head, you need to understand what you're dealing with. You need to understand what you're dealing with. So it's just my depression. No, it isn't. You need to say, devil, I'm not going to let you rob me of my joy. I'm not going to listen to you. My Lord, I wish I was a better preacher. I could get this across tonight. I wish I could convince you tonight. I wish somehow I could convince you. You can't. It's not good enough to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and get the victory and go out on Monday and let the devil push your buttons and pull on your little string, amen, and destroy everything that God did on Sunday. You're going to have to purge your heart and your life of all that junk, amen, so he don't have that kind of power over you. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, the first thing, amen, I've noticed, I'll just say it, there's too much sin in the church. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes I honestly say to God, God, I feel sorry for you if this is the best you got. If this is the best you got, I've gone into apostolic quote-unquote churches, and honestly, amen, so much fornication and adultery and perversion and garbage and junk. And I'm going, God, if this is the best you got, I honestly don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. It's time, church, that we got the sin out of our churches. It's time we got the sin out of our families. The sin out of our marriages. The sin out of our lives. The sin out of our minds. The sin out of our hearts. Bless God, my mind belongs to him, just like my body belongs to him. If you can keep your sin out of your mind, you keep the sin out of your flesh. Come on, church. It's time to get the sin out of our midst. What do you think the devil's using against you? There's too much sin. Oh, Satan's a good lawyer. He's got it all figured out. He knows his case as well. He knows his case as well. I woke up in the middle of the night one time, and I could feel his presence in the house. So strong. And you know, I don't talk to the devil very often. I don't. Amen. But when I begin to question God why the devil was there, God told me why. And I went and fixed the problem. And then I said to the devil, Now get out. There's too many people that don't have the authority with God to tell the devil to get out of my home. Get out of my family. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my children's spirit. I'm telling you, God help me. I'm wading in deep tonight and I gotta quit. But I see so many demon spirits and saints kids. They come in, they're just activated and animated by the devil. And I say, I look at parents and say, don't you know? Don't you know what's going on with your child? Amen. It's a spirit that's got a hold of them. Someone said, what's wrong with my baby? Why don't you go home and have a good prayer meeting? Amen. Why don't you get a hold of Jesus Christ? Why don't you get some authority in your home over the devil? And then why don't you pray for your children and say, God, I don't want this lying spirit. I don't want this demon spirit on my kids. Oh, God, help me. Let's stand tonight. Satan has come, but he hasn't got anything in me. Come on, church, it's time for us to be able to say, hey, man, the devil don't have nothing in me. Oh, we need to be like our Lord. And we can be through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be. We need to come and straighten it out with the Lord. I said we need to come and straighten it out with the Lord. Someone said, Pastor, pray for me. I got this terrible lust problem. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There's too much of that in our churches. I'm convinced that there's some people got a demon of lust. They got a demon of lust. And you know, come up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm really struggling. Pastor can pray for you, cast that spirit off you. Amen. You can go right out the door, and the first time you entertain a thought, an illicit sexual thought, boom, you open the door back up to that spirit, and he comes right back. It's not enough to get delivered. You got to learn how to stay delivered. You got to learn to value your deliverance. And I promise you, amen, if you do what I'm preaching right here tonight, and you'll go get yourself a prayer life, and you'll learn how to knock on that door, and you'll learn how to walk out of this old dark present world into a place where there's light and glory and joy and happiness and dominion of God, amen, you'll learn how to say to the devil, I know who you are, and you're not welcome back in my life. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not giving you dominion again. Jesus Christ gave us a way to walk out of the dominion of hell. I'm not a citizen of this world, folks. I'm an ambassador. But I can go home anytime I want. I can go home anytime I want and check, amen, with the King. Praise the Lord. Thank God one of these days he's going to withdraw his ambassadors. Amen, he's going to withdraw his. I still believe in the second coming of Jesus. I still believe in the resurrection of the dead. I still believe, amen, he's going to raise us up. Amen, and this old corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Come on, church, it's time for us to say, my God's bigger than the God of this world. I'm going to walk out of here. I got news for you. If you don't learn to walk out of here now, when the trumpet sounds,